My mum later on, after we had gotten Desi, said to me, you know, since you were little, you always said you never want to be pregnant.
Sure.
You want to have a baby. You want to be a mom and you want to adopt a baby, but you don't want to be pregnant.
This is a Baby Brunch podcast.
Welcome to another Baby Brunch podcast. She's a digital entrepreneur and a mom, but I just know her as the mother of the feel good kid. Adele Coolin is joining us on Baby Brunch. I feel good.
I knew that I would.
Hey, listen, your CV is so extensive, but I just know you as Daisy's mom. Welcome to Baby Brunch.
This podcast is supported by Epimax, the dermatologist recommended skincare range specifically formulated to hydrate, soothe, and protect. Whether it's dry skin, sensitive skin, or just everyday moisture, Epimax has a solution for everybody. Fragrance-free, hypoallergenic, and suitable for all ages. Curaprox aims to create 1 billion healthy smiles. A healthy mouth means a healthy body and mind, creating better health for you. Great oral health starts from day one. It's never too early to start. Curaprox Baby gets your child on the right path of starting healthy oral care habits for life.
I also know you as the mom agent. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're so good with him. I've seen, you know what happened? So the other day I'm at an event and before I go on stage, they say, okay, our star is going to come on stage and the star is going to open the show with this opening monologue. Ella Langer, the longest script that I've ever seen. And out comes this little guy and he steps on stage and he does the most beautiful speech recognizing South Africa. And it was Desmond Coolin.
Yep. Off a teleprompter. I mean, grade three. And, you know, it's so funny because you give him a book to read and it's like pulling teeth. Mm-hmm. And you give him that script and he takes it and he sort of goes and he reads and then he goes, I've got it,
I can do this.
And I'm like, are you sure? And he's like, I've got it. And we get to rehearsal at 8 p.m. at night and he gets onto stage and he's got it.
Showtime. Magic.
Just magic.
What's it like seeing your baby on stage like that? I mean, he is a superstar. I hear him on radio, on Jacaranda FM. I see how he shows up and how the rugby team likes him and loves him. He does these inspirational messages online and people are just attracted to his positivity. What's it like seeing your kid show up like that?
I'm in awe every time. You know, you hold the tears back because it's so hard to explain, because every time I watch him, I just go, wow, that's mine. And how lucky am I to be his mom? And it's, you know, you almost want to pinch yourself. It's like, is this really real? And then I look at him and I go, how are you only nine? Mm. Because he's a 9 year old and you
trapped
know,
trapped in like,
yeah, you know, when you see messages on social media, when people go, he's lived before, or people go, he was in school with me in 1965. I'm like, I get it. He's so wise for his years, and the conversations we have, and he's just such a really cool kid.
Well, talking about this cool kid, there was a time where Desmond Coolin wasn't yours.
Yeah. that's you. I don't want to cry. It's hard to think that that time existed. It's hard to think that those days, that it could have been so different. And I cannot imagine life without him. And, you know, I thank God every day that divine intervention, you know, and the way things worked out. And, you know, Ilana, your life works out exactly how it needs to be. And our path was hard and long. And, you know, people always say to me, oh, but don't you wish? No, I don't wish it. It worked. That our journey worked and our fertility worked. I don't, not for one second, because I wouldn't have had him. And I can't imagine my life without this little person in it. Because can you imagine the world without the feel-good kid in it? I mean, no.
All of our journeys as parents, it looks different. As a stepmom, my journey started different to other stepmoms.
Yeah.
And as a mommy and a baby of a little miracle, you know, my little miracle was in NICU. All of our stories are different. What's yours? Because on this podcast, we've given hope to so many people. And on this podcast, we've said to everyone, your curse will become your blessing. And on this podcast, we've said to many parents, sure, that was tough because we fight. We're always fighting. We're fighting a lot.
So in a nutshell, so my husband and I, Johan, we got married, and you know, we all have our life planned out, you know. You have this picture. So our picture was we were gonna have two kids, a boy and a girl, and you know, that's how it was going to be. And the first one was going to be when I was 32, and the second one was going to be when I was 35. And then we decided over copious amounts of wine that we were going to start trying when I was 29.
Right.
So we would just turn the clock forward and started trying. And after 10 weeks of no period, I must be pregnant.
Mm.
And everyone was convinced. And like 10 pregnancy tests, I wasn't. And I went to the gynae, and she scanned and whatever. And she said to me, oh, no, well, the right ovary is not working and the left one is lazy. I felt like Miranda on Sex and the City.
Oh, gosh.
I was like, oh, great. And I thought, you know, I don't have a lazy bone in my body, but I have a lazy ovary. So, like, how exciting is that? And I booked an appointment with Vitalab, the fertility clinic, and off I went in the March, because, you know, you also have to wait like 10,000 years for an appointment. And we got there and the doctor scanned us and whatever, and he said, oh, well, there's an egg and we'll start you on treatment immediately. Also know that treatment comes with a price tag of a Ferrari, you know. So we started treatment and we fell pregnant, first time.
I did not know this about you.
No, fantastic. You know, okay. Here we go. And 6 weeks later or 4 weeks later, whatever it was, miscarried.
Sorry. I didn't know.
And it was, I was distraught. But I'm also that person. I don't fail. So that set this. Have you ever been on that roller coaster ride, like the ups and the downs, you know? So as horrible as it is, I'm going to do it again, you know? So it set in motion this thing in me that I'm going to do it again, because no one tells me no,
yeah,
you know? So we went back and he was like, well, at least we know you can fall pregnant.
Okay.
And I don't know if these doctors have a script that they follow. We're gonna make you a baby. You can't make me a baby.
Mm.
And I wish that they would learn that. There's only one person that can make you a baby, and that's the man upstairs. You can assist the process. You can't make me a baby. I want you to be as pregnant as much as you want you to be, you know, that sort of things. And I remember sitting there bawling my eyes out, and at least you can fall pregnant. You know, you've fallen pregnant, so at least we know that can work. And we went through 12 cycles of assisted conception or timed conception. I had 5 miscarriages in total.
I can't believe this.
Then we did I went to them and I said, you know, guys, we've done everything. We have literally tried. We've tested everything now. We have tested the housing, as they said, with this lumen thing where they inject dye in and all of that. And you said the housing is fine. And I said, but have you tested the eggs? So they said to me, well, do you have a chromosomal problem in your family? I said, no, well, I don't, but... Oh, but it's very expensive. I mean, by then we had spent, I think, almost 400,000.
What's the price tag every time you go? Like more or less? I mean, everyone's journey is different. I'm curious.
At that time, I think we were paying about 30K a shot.
So 30K a shot, you go every time with a promise.
Yeah. So then I said, what are we looking at? No, like 10,000 rand. I'm like, my husband's sitting going, like,
test the egg.
Swipe away.
Yeah.
So then they came back and they said to me, listen, actually, you have got a chromosomal issue. So now your eggs have got an issue. So I can't, my eggs are actually not viable to have a baby with. So now I need to look at donor eggs. So, okay, fine. So now I have to wrap my head around it. So now the doctor says to me, you know, you don't need to be genetically linked to a baby to be its parent. Mm. So I'm like, okay, no, it's like, that's fine. I don't have an issue with that. I've never actually had an issue with that. So fine. So we find a donor. So now we've had an artificial insemination already with the one egg, because please note, we've now tried an IVF on me, 17 eggs that were there on Saturday. I get there on Monday and 16 of them had disappeared into thin air. Gosh knows where. I mean, my body just ate them, apparently. Mm. It was hungry over the weekend. This is just what happens. And so now we've had 13 failed attempts. Okay. So now we get a donor. Lots of fun.
Yeah.
You know, so now we...
How do you ask for a donor? Like, how do you...
So they have this... So that's quite interesting. So you get a... There's like a...
A list, catalog.
It is a catalog. But it's only of baby photos. So you don't actually meet the person. It's all anonymous. So you will send your baby photos in and a medical questionnaire and all of those things. And you're like... your intellect and your high school and all
mine
of those
things. Mine would
have
been fabulous.
So, yeah, no. So, and then I look at all of that and your medical background and all of that. And, you know, do you have all your toes and all your fingers and all of that? But I don't know what you look like as an adult.
Adult, right.
So, anyway, so we choose our donor and we then implanted twice at the one clinic. And then I moved and I took my little eggs in a cooler box to another clinic. I then decided, you know what, let's get a new donor at the new clinic.
What happened to the other two, the first two that you implanted?
Those ones didn't survive the thawing process. So that also happens, you know. So then we started at a new clinic and we were at this clinic and shame the doctor there was very old. He would sleep between consults, a very sweet old man, lovely shame. He was so sweet. He would say to me, Mrs. Kulin, I don't know who you pray to, but you must pray and believe that you deserve to be a mom as much as the next person. He was very sweet. And so we got this new donor and we did 3 IVFs there. So by then, I mean, we were a good 900K in. And nothing. And then we decided to take a break. And I was just like...
By this stage, you must be exhausted. I mean, you know what's interesting?
I was like, dead.
When you talk about adoption and your little baby that you... Because we all know how the story ends. When you talk about your baby... Your child, the one that we are talking about today, you beam with sunlight, you start crying, you become so emotional, and it's wonderful to see. But when you talk about infertility and IVF and that process, you look really frustrated.
Well, you know, I think someone said to me the other day, you speak so candidly about it. And years ago, I was more teary about it, I suppose. But it was really more about frustration. Mm. And people would say to me, why didn't you stop earlier? And it was really a case of, I never wanted people to be able to turn around to me and say, I didn't do everything. So once we stopped IVF, a friend of mine came out from New Zealand and she said to me she would be my surrogate. And we explored that with her, but surrogacy laws between South Africa and New Zealand, then you have to legally adopt and they have to be, yeah, and it was just a very big, like, troubled waters. So then we actually went into surrogacy, yeah, in South Africa. And our first surrogate miscarried, twin boys. So we then actually went the whole nine yards. We actually tested the embryos. We knew the sex of the babies. Like, massive. I mean, the amount of money we spent on that final step was excessive. We knew what we were implanting. To the point of, like, we were...
Whose eggs are you implanting in the surrogate?
A donor.
Right. So there's a donor,
there's a donor and an oven, right, effectively. We were Elon Musking these embryos. We knew exactly, there was no way that it couldn't work, type, right, of thing. And then my cousin actually, because then this surrogate actually said, you know what, guys, I can't actually do this. Mm. And then my cousin surrogated for us twice. And then our last embryo just didn't make it out the gates. And I just said to my husband, I said, done.
Enough.
Now it's done. I said, we are not meant to be parents. We are done. God has a sense of humor, dude. Like, we are done. And then I decided, you know what? Let's do something so far left wing, right wing, up wing, I don't know what you call it. I'm going to do a beauty pageant. So I entered Mrs. South Africa.
Okay.
I don't even know. I can't even walk in a pair of heels.
I did not think you were going to say that. I mean, I knew you were a finalist, but I did not know that this was the result. How long was the time that you were planning your baby and implanting and trying to fix? How long was that period?
So
this is the first time on Baby Brunch that we're ever laughing through failed attempts.
So I literally, I was sitting, and you know, and this is why I say divine intervention, guys. Signs come in all shapes and sizes. And I was sitting on the laptop, and this Mrs. South Africa thing kept on coming up on Facebook.
Before you answer that, I want to know, how long have you tried this before the Mrs. South Africa thing happened?
So it was 3 days before.
No, how long was your infertility journey before Mrs. South Africa?
No, it was in the last surrogacy attempt.
So from the first implant to the last one, how long was that?
It was 7 years.
So 7 years of trying to fall pregnant.
Yeah.
And then the moment came where you...
So our last attempt, the day I found that we were supposed to implant on the 26th of February to 2018, was supposed to be our final implantation into our surrogate, okay? The baby would have been born, if it took, on the 8th of November, 2019.
Right.
Would have been the
birth
the
date.
Gestation,
yeah.
the Caesar date, okay? The entries for Mrs. South Africa closed on the 28th of February 2018. And the finale was on the 9th of November 2018.
Stop it.
I'm telling you. Have you ever seen a sign?
So it was a sign that you needed to enter.
You know, Ace of Base, show me the sign.
I think you heard. I saw the sign.
I mean... And it was literally, and I entered the, I'll never forget, I entered the competition in like the November, like it was after our second surrogacy attempt, or the first one with my cousin didn't work. I entered the competition and I thought, I didn't submit the photos. I thought I'll submit the photos a little bit later, like in the January. And then I got an email and they were like, you need to submit your photos. I was like, oh, I'll submit them. And I like sent them in, and I sent my husband a message from the bathroom. Hey, so I did this thing. And he was like, what the hell is wrong with you? I'm like, you're going through a crisis.
Like, entering a pageant.
I am going through a crisis.
Yeah.
My life is a crisis.
Oh.
And yeah, and I mean, after it didn't work with her the last time, I was just like, you know, I need a break.
Mm.
And then I started talking about it, and it was hard for him because up until that point, we had told nobody that we used donor eggs.
And now the story is becoming public. And how does your partner deal with that?
And I'm telling people I've used donor eggs. And I said to him, I said, what's the issue? It's me. I'm the problem. I can't have children. I can't use, it's my eggs. It's my uterus. You know, so I don't really know what your issue is. You have super sperm. So, you know, why are you feeling? And he couldn't actually answer the thing. And, you know, it was a long thing. And eventually he said to me, I just don't want you to be hurt by people's comments. And I was like, I'm actually fine by it. And my mum later on, after we had gotten Daisy, said to me, you know, since you were little, you always said you never want to be pregnant.
Sure.
You want to have a baby. You want to be a mom and you want to adopt a baby, but you don't want to be pregnant.
It's something that you spoke.
And, you know, the thought of pregnancy has always petrified me.
Hmm.
And it has. It has always. And I've never really, like, I look at pregnant people and I'm like, oh, it's lovely. Mm. I'm not the person that puts my hand on your stomach.
Yeah, please don't.
I'm not. I'm not a, I mean, I look at people and I'm like, why do you, I don't get it.
Mm.
It's lovely. Mm. And I'm really happy for you, but it's not
something that you could, do you at any stage of like growing as Adele, as a person, do you at any stage still blame yourself for anything?
I did up to a point. I wondered if I had done something wrong. There was a point,
right?
You know, where I thought, you know, maybe I'd done something wrong. Maybe I hadn't looked
Susan, in your leven,
my...
iets verkeerd gedoen.
Yeah,
jy gedink is 'n straf.
Yeah, I thought maybe, you know, maybe I partied too much. Maybe I'd done something wrong. You know, maybe I didn't believe. You know, people make comments like you don't believe in God enough. You don't believe enough. You need to trust the process more.
But you know, we can't listen to all those voices, right?
You know, but when you're in the thick of it,
you believe everything.
You believe everything, and I was angry. I was angry at God. For a long time. And I was like, what is the lesson in this? But when we got Daisy, I was like, there's the plan. That little boy, I look at him every day and I just go, I say it all the time. I'm not the biggest religious person. I have a relationship with the Lord. I'm not the church going. I'm not the Bible reading person. But I look at my son and I know that is God's plan. That is blessed and highly favored. That is the picture.
Mm-hmm.
He is God's work. That's just...
I think you are a believer, Adele.
I mean, you can look at your baby.
No, and exactly that. I look at him and I know that is the plan.
This is the plan.
Yeah.
Do you know that I have not asked one question from this silly iPad that I'm holding? I am hanging on your lips. Because we all know, and I remember in COVID, we had a conversation about adoption. And we even had a conversation about adoption on this podcast to someone at a kinderhuis, so a safe house.
Yeah.
And in every conversation, they tell us how difficult adoption is. But here's the thing, right? As someone who is watching and who's the aunt and who is seeing and who's experiencing, when I see a mommy and an adopted child, do you know what I see? I always see a child who's thriving. When I see a relationship with a mom and a dad and their adopted child, I always see a happy family and a thriving family. Do you think adoptive parents are trying harder?
You know, I think families just try hard. I don't think it's the adoptive bit that I think families just try hard. I think parenting is hard, and I think motherhood is hard. And I think, you know, a friend of mine said to me once, I said, you know, am I doing the right thing? And he said to me, the fact that you ask that question means that you care enough. And that means that you are trying. He says the parent, the person that doesn't ask the question is the parent that doesn't care. And that to me resonated so. And, you know, as moms, and you know, you're constantly wondering whether you're doing enough. Mm-hmm. And adoption it's hard. There's so much red tape. And it was one hell of a journey. And I mean, we got Desi on the 20th of Feb, 2020. We went into lockdown literally
days after that. Yeah.
Just like a month later. Mm. We got this little boy. He was 90 centimeters tall.
Oh, mommy.
He had eyes big this eyes. Big, cheeks, between the cheeks and the eyes. I don't know which was bigger. He didn't speak a word of English. And he was bewildered.
Hmm.
And I remember going to fetch him, and he walked down the passage of this place. Have you ever watched Ballade for Inkelen?
Hmm.
That place that they were in. That's what this place looked like where he stayed. And he came walking down, and I remember my first thought was, what if he doesn't like me?
Hmm.
What if he comes down there and he screams and runs? I mean, he walked down, and I was standing on my haunches, and he sort of walked, and I went, hello, Desmond. And he looked at me, and he put his hands on my face like this, and he went, hello. And then I put my hands out to hug him, and he just put his hands around my neck, and I was like the flake advert. All resistance crumbled. I and my friend Jacqueline looked at me, and she went, because okay. We didn't know how he would react.
Right.
And I was like, and we went, I changed his clothing and left everything that he had there because, you know, I brought new stuff, and we got into the car, and he just sat and he looked out the window, and we got to Jax's house, and Johan arrived.
Your husband.
And Johan was so, it was so funny because Johan, bless his soul, walked up. And
he shook his hand.
Put his hand up. And he went,
I am your father.
He went, hi, I'm Johan. And Jacqueline went, nee, jy's papa. And I mean, we got thrown into parenthood overnight.
Mm.
And
I'm laughing because it's a sweet
yeah,
story.
And yeah. I mean, like, we had this little boy, and like, now you have to bath him and all this, and it's, you don't know how to, you also don't know how he's going to react.
And,
Hold the thought, because I want to tell the story. So this is a video of Adele and Desmond sitting on stage. So they are now telling the audience Desi's version of how he saw how this all played out. He's basically telling the story of how he was adopted.
I want you to know my story, how I got found by my mom and dad. Once upon a time, there was a tummy mommy. He grew a little baby and named that baby Desmond. Tummy mommy loved the baby so much, but she couldn't take good care of him. He gave me to Tiny Sandra. They told him can you find a good family for Daisy.
And then we fetched Daisy.
And then I went home with Adele and your honey. And then we were living happy ever after. We got a piece of paper we said to us forever family.
So this is the piece of paper that the judge gave Daisy and gave us. And what does this piece of paper mean, Daisy?
We are forever family, and I'm adopted to my mom and dad.
And no one can take you away.
Yeah.
I mean, that's cute, right? Who told him that story?
So we started, we said from the beginning that we were going to be transparent and open about his story. Also, you have to remember, he was 3.5 years old when he came to us.
Mm.
So he knew there was no mom and dad from the beginning.
Right.
I mean, it's not like, you know, there was someone beforehand. Mm. And so we started the story with, once upon a time, there was this little boy, Desmond, who lived with his friends at this place.
Mm.
And there was a lady and a man, Johan and Adele, who went all around the world. And we were looking for this little boy, and we found Desi. So that's how it started. And as he got older, we extended the story. And then it was the tummy mommy, and the tummy mommy had Desi in her tummy, and she, well, the baby, and she called him Desmond, and she loved him very much. And we've always made it very pertinent that he was very loved from the beginning. And, you know, so it's always been like that. And he, the forever family. And once he got adopted and we got the papers, the adoption papers came through, and we got the forever family papers. So as he's gotten older, and as he's, you know, the story has grown. And it's quite interesting, because the year that he was 7, so that was last year, 2024. Yes, last year. He did a road show, and Ed Jordan actually did an interview with him. And in that interview, he tells his story as well. But he actually talks about his setup at the place that he was at.
He remembers.
And he remembers. And I mean, there he says to Ed, he says, you know, Ed, imagine 8 of us in one room.
Okay.
3 of us sleeping in one bed. No I love yous, no mom and dad, no plasters when you get hurt. And he talks about his time at this place. And he doesn't have a lot of recollection of his time there. But every now and again, there's little parts that come up and little triggers. So it's quite interesting, because I don't know anything from there. So those are definitely almost, I want to say, core memories from when he was there.
Do you look back and think, I wish he was a baby? Do you wish that he was smaller? Because we don't wish for another child, but do you ever wish that he was smaller when you got him?
There's little things that I wish I had spent time with, you know, that, so things like, if you think things that you did with your children, like singing them songs, counting, teaching them little things, because those are gaps that we have found now, obviously when he started his schooling, and those are things that obviously that were missing.
So your 1,000 days were not...
That weren't there. And you don't realize how much you do with your child just naturally. But, you know, at the end of the day, the plan worked exactly the way it was. Because I look at it and I go, Desi came exactly at the time it was best for us. Yeah.
Because of your journey and the pageant, of course.
Yeah.
And you've become a voice for infertility, and you've become a voice for awareness, and you've become a voice for adoption.
I like to think that. I like to think, you know, Desi advocates for adoption. He's very, you know, it's always so funny when people say to him, but please also don't call him black, because he'll say to you,
yeah,
don't you know your colors? I'm brown.
Mm.
It's so funny.
Okay.
It's the funniest thing when he goes, I'm not black, I'm brown.
Right.
Firstly. And then he'll go, why are you brown and your mom is white? And he'll be like, well, have you not heard of adoption?
Okay.
And he'll say, it's not my fault your family's boring. He's so secure
in
who he is, in what his story is. And he's asked about his biological mom. As he's gotten older, he has asked, I mean, he recently asked what his surname was before he came to us.
Was his name always Desmond?
His name has always been Desmond. We kept that.
Okay. But he's asked about his surname.
I think for us, obviously, he knew that he was always known as Desmond.
Yeah.
And it was also for us, you know, a tribute to his bio mom. She was very young when she gave him up. And I know this sounds cliche, but for me, I'm exceptionally grateful to her. And, you know, it's so easy to judge. You don't know what had to go through her to make that decision.
Yeah.
Until your foot is in the shoe, don't cast judgment. And the magistrate who gave us the foster care order was the same magistrate who signed her parental rights away in front of. And she said to us, you need to know that she loved him. She cried the day she signed him away. And that to me, she looked after him. She loved him so much. And Desi knows that. And he asked us, you know, he wanted to know. And Johan and I sat with him and I said to him, tell me why. Why do you want to know? Why do you want to know what your name was? Why do you want to know who she was? And he said to me, but mommy, she was a person. She's a person. I want to know who she is. And I want to know who I was before. And we sat with him. We showed him his birth certificate before. And he looked. And it was a non-event. He looked at it and he went, oh, okay. And we moved on.
Just shows you, hey, the things that we...
And, you know, I mean, I won't lie. It was like a dagger to my heart when he went, I want to know what my mom's name was. And I was like, you know, and he went, you are my mom. It won't change it. Because I think he immediately... You know, he's got such an EQ. And he said, but she's my tummy mommy and I just want to know. And he's also said to me, like, you know, we have a place in St. Francis and there's a informal settlement and we've driven past. Mm. And he has said to me, did my tummy mommy live like this?
Okay.
So I said, well, I don't know, my boy. And he goes, but you've said that she couldn't look after me, which means she must be poor.
Mm.
So, you know, then he sees the little kids and he goes, so I would have lived like this.
Mm.
So he's very aware of how privileged he is. And, you know, I said to him, and then he goes, "Mom, do you think she knows I'm okay?" And I mean, I said to him, "Well, the only way you can let her know that is by praying and, you know, telling God to put a message in her heart."
Mm.
And he's done that, you know, where he goes, it's so cute. And he goes, "Baby Jesus, please tell my tummy mommy not to worry about me and tell her that she can have a new family." So it's, like I say, the level of EQ in that 9-year-old is more than most adults I know. So.
Superstar Desi is now called the Feel Good Kid, and he's on stages across South Africa and the world.
Yep.
Did you intend for him to be this entertainer, or did he say, "Mommy, I'm keen"?
You know, when we got him, I said to you, "Hun, this child is going to touch hearts and change lives." I didn't think it would be at the age of 7.
Mm.
But he has been a performer from the minute he walked into our house. He was dancing and singing and performing. I mean, he was watching, he couldn't speak English, but he was watching TV and then reciting whatever he was seeing.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, he's always been laughing and performing and all of that. And he did his first voiceover at the age of 4.5.
Wow.
And it was so cute. He did a little Jungle Vites advert, and he was Leo the lion. It was so Lionel the lion, and it was so sweet. And then I enrolled him for acting and for drama and singing. And this I Feel Good video, it just happened by chance. So he had done I Steadford, and we were going to SA Champs, and he had walked away with diplomas at I Steadford.
Congratulations.
And thank you. And I said to the principal, "Look, can he, in their assembly, their grade one assembly, could he please perform on stage in front of the JP, just so that he could get comfortable on stage, because we were leaving for essays the next week." So proud mommy moment. I'm sitting recording really bad lighting, bad angle, the whole toot. And here's my kid standing Bock Friday, you know, in his grandpa shoes.
Oh, mommy.
And the whole toot.
And his Springbok shirts, yes.
Springbok shirt, and I record it. And I mean, everyone's getting in on the song and whatever. And as they clap, Daisy's just getting all like worked in. And I was trying to grow my TikTok at that time.
As a digital entrepreneur does.
As you do, you know.
Yes.
And I'm hearing my friend in the back of my head that night going, "You need to post 3 videos a day at least, Adele, to grow your TikTok."
Your numbers, yeah.
And I'm sitting, laying in bed next to him, already sleeping, going, "I have no content to post." And I promised myself my TikTok was going to be just me.
Right.
With dismal numbers, please note, like, I'm very happy when I get 100 views on a video. I'm like, "Oh, you know, let me now post the I Feel Good video." And I'm like, proud mommy moment. My son has just, Desi performed in front of the JP today. I wake up the next morning, and the first comment I see is, "Congratulations on going viral."
Wow.
Like, what? And someone's like, "Wow, Wayne Brady commented." I'm like, who the hell's Wayne Brady?
Don't you know Wayne Brady commented on?
I had to go and Google
it. If you want to see the video that went viral, this is Desi Kulin and his rendition of "I Feel Good."
I feel good. I do the wood now. I feel good. I do the wood now. So good. So good. I got you. I feel nice, like sugar and spice. I feel nice, like sugar and spice. So nice, so nice. I
Solas, solas, al party.
We were going to go and play paddle. So I get up. I'd fallen asleep in his bed. And I get up and I go to the room and I say to Johan, oh my word, this video's got 2 million views. And Johan's like, yeah, I don't see it going any further. Whatever. We come back from paddle and it's sitting on 5. Johan's like, okay, maybe something's happening. Next thing, we're on breakfast with Martin. And
they're on radio, yeah.
On Wednesday, by the Wednesday, Will Smith shared it. And it just, I mean, it went absolutely crazy.
Subsequently, he's also performed that particular song with like a big band on stage. And I look at his beautiful career. I mean, how do you balance in sharing Desi with the world and then also keeping his life private?
So we made a very conscious decision. So everything that goes out, he consents to.
Okay.
So any brand work, anything, I say to him, so anything that comes in, I say to my boy, this is what's come in. This is the brief. This is what they want to do. Do you want to do it? Yes or no? If you commit, if you say yes, it's commitment, it's done, there's no pulling out.
So where is he right now? How come he's not here?
He's at school.
Oh. Okay.
And
just asking.
He's at school and I did ask him if he wanted to be on this.
What did he say?
He said no. Because he would have had to leave school early. And he didn't want to miss school.
I love that. I love that he has a voice.
And he didn't want to leave school.
If you know what you know now, would you have adopted sooner?
No, because I wouldn't have gotten him. And he was the... He would have been the... He was our kid.
What does timing mean to you? And if there's any parent that's waiting for their miracle baby, what do you want to say to them?
Don't push it. Don't force it. It will happen when it needs to happen. I look at us and we were pushing and pulling, and it can cause so much heartache, and you know, it can push you together or it can pull you apart, and you need to communicate, and don't bankrupt yourself. I mean, we didn't bankrupt ourselves, but Don't let it consume you, because it can. It can become such a like over-consuming thing. Keep perspective. Don't let the outside world dictate to you, and focus on what's going to work for you. And it's okay to take a step back, to take a breather. Whether that breather is 5 minutes, 5 months, 5 years, it's okay. And to women and to men, it's okay if you decide not to have those children. And it's okay if you adopt, it's okay if you don't, it's okay if your picture looks different. It's okay if your family is just you too. It's okay if you adopt 5. It's okay if you don't adopt at all. You're not defined by parenthood. That was my big thing about Mrs. South Africa. Being a mom comes in so many ways and shapes. Being a mom could be just coming to your daughter and sitting and listening to her and being the add-on mom. You know, you don't have to physically give birth, or you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to be a parent to be a parent, if that makes any sense.
Adele Coulon on Baby Brunch. Daisy's mom. Are you a feel-good mom?
I'm a feel-good mom most days.
Thanks so much for listening to this podcast. A quick thanks to our support. This podcast is supported by Epimax, the dermatologist-recommended skincare range specifically formulated to hydrate, soothe, and protect. Whether it's dry skin, sensitive skin, or just everyday moisture, Epimax has a solution for everybody. Fragrance-free, hypoallergenic, and suitable for all ages. Curaprox aims to create 1 billion healthy smiles. A healthy mouth means a healthy body and mind, creating better health for you. Great oral health starts from day one. It's never too early to start. Curaprox Baby gets your child on the right path of starting healthy oral care habits for life.